On this week's Northern from Adam podcast, we are joined by the Houston Texans guard, David Quisenberry, who went from competing for a starting job with the Houston Texans at the age of 23 to being diagnosed with cancer and being out of football for almost 4 years. This summer, Quisenberry is back with the Texans. He's competing for a roster spot. He's competing for a starting job. He is facing a different kind of battle than the one that started when he was diagnosed with cancer on June 10th, 2014, after going for testing. Without further ado, Texans guard David Quisenberry. David, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I think we reached out to you because I know people know your story, but I don't know if they really know your story and have heard your story. And so I wanted to bring people up to date and ask you about this journey that has brought you to now. But I believe if my facts and information are all correct, you went on injured reserve in the NFL in September of 2013 with a foot injury. And then the following June, you were diagnosed with cancer after going for tests following a time when you were experiencing fatigue and coughing during the OTAs. That following June, you were placed on the reserve NFI list, non-football injury list, with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in August of 2014. And so basically, you haven't played in almost 4 years. You've been battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Do I have the story in its nuts and bolts form accurate?
Yes, that would be nuts and bolts form correct. Yeah, that was that's been my journey so far.
And when we think back on this journey, David, there's a lot to get to here. But I guess first and foremost, how are you feeling today?
Well, today I feel like I feel healthy. I feel strong. It's exciting to wake up and feel good, and I have energy to get out of bed and be excited about the day. You know, I was on chemo and going through treatments for so long, and like every time you wake up, it's just it's almost like a hangover feeling, where it's just like the chemo is just weighing you down. And now, you know, I'm off all that. I'm healthy. I'm back right into training camp. And even though I wake up bumps and bruises and sore, it's still a good feeling to get up and feel healthy and feel alive, really.
What's kept you going the past 3 years, staying positive and believing that you'd be back?
I would say most of anything, just, you know, I had worked my, you know, basically my whole life, played football since I was a kid to get to the NFL and get here, and you make, you know, the sacrifices and you dedicate it, and then you finally get there. And then I got diagnosed going into my second year, and right before I got diagnosed, the best I'd felt my entire life, coming off into reserve. I broke my foot. And I was coming in to make my mark on this league, and then to get diagnosed, I wasn't going to let cancer take away everything that I worked for. You know, I just had a feeling that I was going to beat this thing, and I was going to come back, and I was going to play and play in this league and fulfill kind of everything that I had worked for.
What's it like to be diagnosed with cancer, David? What goes through your mind when you hear that?
Oh, man. You know, when I first got the news, I couldn't hardly believe it, man. I thought they were, you know, I refused to believe it. You know, I was 23 years old. I was a professional athlete. You know, I was, everything I ate was clean. It was like, there's no way this could happen to me. You know, it's not going to happen to me. I'm in the best shape of my life, but, you know, it's just one of those things you never know. And it was definitely, there was not much time to think, because the type of cancer I had, it was non-Hodgkin's T-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma. It's pretty rare, and it's very aggressive. And so the doctors told me that we needed to act fast, And so basically I got diagnosed and everything kind of got prepped. And 2 days later, I was getting my first round of chemotherapy at MD Anderson. At first, I didn't believe it. And then it was going from I'm on the NFL field, mm-hmm. getting ready to be a starter in this league, to a cancer patient, basically, in a matter of in a day. And it was a whirlwind. I didn't believe it at first, but once it started going, it was scary, and it just everything changed.
What was scary about it?
It was scary because they tell you what you're about to go through. They tell you what you have. You see the photos of the X-rays and the MRIs, or mass out of mass in my chest the size of a softball. You know, 2 liters of fluid in my right lung. My left lung was partially closed.
Wow.
You know, they say it's rare and very aggressive, and if we don't act and it spreads, then the chances of beating it are slim to none. And, you know, you hear all this, and you don't know what the future holds. There's so much uncertainty, and that's the scariest part. It's, you know, I you know, football is something I've done forever. I didn't know anything about the cancer world, and so everything they were telling me was new, scary, was serious. And I was scared of my family too. And you know, thankfully, you know, I was a part of the Texans organization, and the owner, Bob McNair, is a cancer fighter, cancer survivor, and he made sure that I knew that the team had my back, and he believed I was going to beat him. And I'd be back wearing a Texas uniform one day playing for him.
What did Bob McNair do and say for you that made a difference?
You know, when people first get diagnosed, you know, your world gets flipped upside down. You know, I was on the practice field, next thing you know, in a cancer center in a room getting a high procedure and chemotherapy treatment. And you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I was a young guy in the league coming off an injured reserve, you know.
Right.
There's so much uncertainty surrounding it, you know, and he came in and he said, you know, you're a part of our team, and we take care of our guys in Houston, and you're going to beat this, and the team is going to support you through it, and we can't wait to see you back out there. And it just kind of, as much uncertainty and fear that kind of surrounds the diagnosis and the future, that it was like very, very calming. Or he basically made it so that, you know, I didn't have to live with that fear, knowing that this team supported me and my family as I fought this disease.
You know, you mentioned the doctors felt like they had to move quick, and it sounds as if it was a very dire situation at the time. How unnerving was it to hear that they wanted to move so quickly?
I was out of practice, and it, honestly, it felt like it was 1 week. You know, I was at workouts 1 week. I was the strongest I'd ever been. You know, Bill O'Brien had just got here. We got a new strength coach. We were getting after in the weight room. I was hitting PRs every week. And then, like, a week later, you know, I was tired. I couldn't lift as much. I just felt like something was off, and I didn't know what it was. And, you know, I tried sleeping more, and, you know, trying cold medicines, and then I started getting a cough, you know, a really bad cough, and it was hard for me to breathe. It just felt like I was almost underwater. And then one day at practice, you know, I almost passed out. Right then I knew something was off, and I went in after the practice, and I told Jeff Kaplan, our head athletic trainer, hey, man, I don't know what's going on. I feel terrible. And he took one look at me, and he saw how pale my face was, and he knew, you know, the kind of guy I was, and he knew something was wrong too. And so he basically sent me straight to team doctor's office, Dr. Muntz, and you know, Dr. Muntz took one listen to my listened to my lungs, and he said, yeah, there's something not right here. So he sent me down to the emergency room to get an x-ray, which led to an MRI, which led to a biopsy. And I came back, and the doctor said, you know, you have basically a mass cancerous mass the size of a softball on your chest. You have 2 liters of fluid in your right lung from the mass that has kind of created that. Your left lung was partially collapsed because of all the fluid in your lungs. And, you know, it's an aggressive cancer, so if we don't act fast, this thing could grow even larger. And it was a lot. You know, they had to drain my lung. They were draining my lung that first month, you know, every day. They had a catheter, you know, inserted, and I was getting chemo and getting my lung drained. And after, you know, 10 rounds of basically week-long stays in the hospital for chemo, I had 5 weeks of radiation, and then, you know, 30 months of maintenance chemotherapy after that.
30 months?
Yeah. Well, 30 rounds, about 26, 28 days every round.
And how much weight did you lose during that time, David? When you went in and were diagnosed with cancer, how much did you weigh, and what did your weight drop to at its lowest point?
So before I got, you know, officially diagnosed, I was, you know, 308, you know, kind of bounced around there. Mm-hmm. And then actually the week that I got diagnosed, my weight fluctuated, and I gained about 10 pounds. They said it was just my body retaining fluids, just part of it. So that was a thing. I just watered down too. But then at the very lowest point, you know, after the 10 rounds of chemotherapy, right as I was going through radiation, I probably got down to 250.
So 58 pounds you lost roughly?
Yeah. And, man, I felt like the furthest thing from a football player, man. The chemotherapy regimen that I went through was brutal.
What was the hardest part about it?
Physically, it was terrible. Like, you know, you go to the hospital, you're in there for a week. You know, you're getting round after round. You're getting poked. The nurses are coming in. It's tough. You're nauseous, throwing up, all that. I think even harder than that is the mental side of it, because for me, coming from a football player, just feeling like that and just not being able to sleep at night, staying up, feeling bad. There's so much time for you to just sit there in your, you know, kind of in your own head and your own thoughts, and it's easy to drift to dark places, you know. But thankfully, I was surrounded by, you know, my family and friends and teammates and coaches that they didn't let me get too far gone. They always brought me back, and I'll always be thankful for that.
What was, David, the lowest point during that process? When was hope bleakest?
Probably round eight, round nine. So I was like coming up on Christmas. And, you know, no hair, no eyebrows, skinny. And even though the end was close, we still had 2 more rounds, basically 2 more, you know, hard weeks in the hospital. And, you know, the season's coming to an end. And you just don't feel like yourself, you know. You look at the reflection in the mirror, and you wonder who that person is. And your eyes sunken in, and no hair. And I remember at that point, like, thinking, this is the fight. This is like where the fight is. And, you know, I told my family, they all decided to come down to Houston to stay with me for Christmas. And both my brothers were there, my mom and dad. And then we were coming up on the end of it. And that kind of helped get through that. Yeah. And also being around the team throughout the whole thing. Like, you know, I was going through my stuff, but they said, whenever you're doing good, we want you here. We want you in those O-line meetings. We want you in the team meetings. We like having you around. We have your back, man. We're here for you. And so, you know, being around them, even though I was sick and I didn't go in all the time, mm-hmm. just being around it, you know, that makes you feel normal.
We'll be back with more from Texans guard David Quisenberry after this. What did you most miss during that period of time that you were away from football for 3 years?
I didn't really know. I mean, I knew. I knew. I missed being in the huddle and shoulder pads and seeing myself on film. I missed all that stuff, but not till I, you know, put the pads back on this training camp did I really know what I missed. And that was, I missed the butterflies, and I missed the nerves that you feel, you know, before the first day in full pads of training camp, you know, before you do O-line or team period. It's a good feeling. I'm already starting to feel it for our first preseason game, and you know, it's like a healthy stress. You know, it's a healthy, anxious, excited feeling that I missed, and I didn't feel it when I was going through my fight. You know, I felt nervous, but it was a different kind of nervous. It's like nervous of almost uncertainty through my fight. Like you don't really know what's going to happen, but I miss the butterflies, and I'm back feeling them again, and that's probably the best.
How did being away change your perspective, David? And I guess I guess that's a big question, because I mean about football, about life, about everything.
Yeah. You know, it kind of gave me a deeper understanding into, I almost want to say, like human suffering. Like I understand those feelings that you get when somebody's dying, or when you're, you know, going through a fight for your life, or you're surrounded by family that wants to help you, but they're also almost helpless in it. You know, they can just be there for the support. It just made me very appreciative for all that I have, and just things that have happened in my life to get me to this point. I believe that God has a plan, and he's got something in store for me.
And what do you think that may be?
No, I'll let you know when I figure it out, man.
Haven't figured it out yet, huh?
No, you know it's funny. I come down here when I was about to get drafted. Quiz. You ain't getting out of the third round, man. You know, you're going. Stud, tackle, guard, center. Well, you do it all. Yeah, all right, cool. I'll drop downs, and I end up going 176 overall on the Texans.
Sixth round.
And yep. Sixth round. Not that it's a bad thing or anything, but you know, it was later than I anticipated. But it turned out to be perfect for me coming in here. And I love being Houston. I love being a part of this organization. But then, you know, give it 11 months later, after I'm in Houston, I get diagnosed with an extremely rare and aggressive type of cancer. And, you know, a mile away from the Texans training facility, from NRG Stadium, is MD Anderson, you know, one of the best cancer hospitals in the world. And they have a trial of chemotherapy for my specific type of cancer that's not available anywhere else in the world. And then to have an owner who's a strong cancer fighter, cancer survivor, you know, going through his own battles, you know, kind of saying, you know, I understand what you're going through. and we have your back while you fight this disease. It's just, there's some things that happen that I don't believe are coincidences. I believe that there's something bigger going on, and you know, I'm blessed to be here to beat it and be back doing what I love.
What do you hope is in your future, David? We talk about this plan that you're still trying to figure out. How you go to Houston and are not thrilled going in the sixth round with the 176th overall pick out of San Jose State. But what do you think now, 4 years removed from football, having battled cancer, being back in action for the first time in a very long time, what do you think might be in store for you here in the future?
You know, that's a good question. I'm showing up every day and knocking off the rust and getting my groove back. And it hasn't been perfect this training camp, but it's been a beautiful training camp, man. I've loved every minute of it. Waking up, sore fingers and bruises, and my neck is sore, and legs are achy, knees are achy. And, you know, I'm loving that feeling. I forgot how much I miss the sting you feel when you make a good block. And you know, right now I'm enjoying that. What happens in the future? Yeah, who knows? You know, one day I was in, you know, trying to be a starter in the NFL. The next day I was in the NFL. So many things that happen, but you know, right now I'm enjoying just being back and back doing what I love.
How have your feelings about the game changed during this journey, David?
I definitely have a different perspective on it now. Like just from a scheme point, I almost appreciate it even more. You know, when you're playing, you learn the plays. There's a lot of things. You're trying to learn what your job is on any given play. And you're trying to do that job the best. But you know, when I was out of it, I was watching and studying, and you know, it made me understand, you know, why we do things as an offensive line, and it made me, you know, fall more in love with the offensive line position. And I love the angles and the communication, and the leverage, and the technique. Just all the little things that go into the offensive line. I love how it's five guys, you know, working together. You know, that all is just kind of taking a step back and seeing all the pieces work together has given me, you know, a deeper love for the position and appreciation for the position. And so when I'm back in it, it's more of a better understanding of why we do things. And I really do love it.
Now, what happened to your brother Paul, the former Navy defensive end who was with the Texans 2 years ago? Is he in the military today?
That's right, yeah. He graduated from the Naval Academy, and then he was an undrafted free agent down here in Houston. And then, you know, he had his commitment to the Marine Corps. He's a first lieutenant in, you know, stationed at Camp Pendleton, and he is serving his country. And, you know, I'm proud of him. You got a few more years on that, and we'll see what happens.
Might he want to come back and play in the NFL once his military commitment is served, or is that not a possibility?
I think that's absolutely a possibility, and I told him, you know, he's a talented guy, but right now he's got to be a Marine Corps officer, and you got to be ready for whatever happens. You know, it's a dangerous world, but after you. You serve your country and you take care of business out there. There might be some opportunities for you in this league.
He can play in the league?
I think so. But right now, I told him this: you gotta handle the business with the Marines, and in a couple of years, we'll be back if that's something that you want to do.
And what are the pro prospects for your brother Scott, who's UCLA's starting center the last 4 years, three, 4 years?
Yeah, Yeah, no, Bobby is a stud. He's on his senior year. He's like, I mean, he's just a ball player, man. I mean, ever since he was a kid in Pop Warner, he was always bigger. You know, they got the older lighter than Pop Warner. He was a younger, heavier. He always had to play with the kids that were older than him because he was too big. He can play ball. He can play any position. And you know, I'm excited to see what him and UCLA does this year. And then, you know, what happens to him after that?
He'll play in the NFL, do you think, David?
I think he'll have an opportunity.
Yeah. And what's your scouting report on UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen? I'm sure you've seen enough of him taking snaps from your brother Scott.
Yeah. I mean, I thought last year, yeah, they were going to take over and then Josh got hurt, unfortunately, and then they kind of didn't have the year they wanted. But, you know, I think they're ready now. Josh has got another year to develop. He's kind of, you know, coming off an injury where I hope made him more humble. And so I can't wait to see what that offense looks like with him.
You say more humble. Was he not humble in the past?
No, like more like hungry.
Oh.
Like hungry to live up to everything the better that he can be.
Having watched Josh the way you have, does his game remind you of anybody's in the NFL?
Not off the top of my head, but he can sling that thing.
Yeah. David, what advice, having gone through the journey that you have, would you now give to anybody who's fighting a battle similar to the one that you did?
You know, I would tell them, you know, I know it's as hard as it is, and you know, as tough as it is, as sick as you feel, and nauseous as it is, don't give the disease or, you know, the treatment anything more than it already takes from you. Don't give it your hope for the future. Don't give it your happiness. Don't give it your, you know, love for your family and friends. And, you know, this disease takes so much from people fighting. It's important for everybody not to give it more than it takes. And, you know, as hard as that is, that was something that some of the best advice that I got, and I tried to stick with it. And you know, it wasn't always easy, but it was. It gives you control over your life, even though you are fighting for your life, and you still have a choice to live the life that you want.
Did you ever think you weren't going to beat it? Did it ever get to a spot where you thought, this thing's getting me? Honestly.
No, I, you know, those thoughts cross your head. I mean, cross through your mind. It's impossible not to, but I never let it stay there for long. I was on a mission to beat this disease and get back here to the team.
And now you've done that. You've made it to training camp. You're getting closer and closer to winning a starting job. Can you imagine what it would feel like to open the season for the Houston Texans on the roster, potentially starting, just being a part of something that was denied to you for almost the last 4 years?
You know, that's something that I've thought about for a long time. And it's close, and I'm excited. And you know, but right now I'm just enjoying the butterflies. I'm getting thinking about the first preseason game.
Last thing I'd like to wrap up with all podcast guests, David, is a few quick questions. And one of those questions would be the last time that you cried.
Last time that I cried. I cried on April 11th. That was my last day of chemotherapy. you know, people might have seen it, is when I rang the bell. It was later on that night. It was just, you know, the last day of a long fight, and you know, I was surrounded by, you know, my girlfriend and my family, and you know, everybody who had supported me. And it was a beautiful moment. It was important for us to share in that. You know, it wasn't just me fighting; it was everybody around me too.
That's very cool. If you had one more meal to eat on this planet, what would it be and where, David?
What would it be and where? I don't know, man. I don't want to think about last meals. I've got lots of meals left.
Good answer. Good answer. And on that note, David, I will thank you and let you get back to training camp and let you get back to the other battle of trying to make this roster and win that starting job. I wish you the very best of luck with that. I really appreciate you taking some time to join us today. Thank you very much, and continued best wishes to you.
You bet. Thanks, Adam. I'll see you around, man.
I look forward to that, David. Thank you.